Morning, friends and brethren. It's very good to see you. Glad to see each one of you here. Have some visitors with us especially. We're glad to see you today. In John's account of the life of Jesus, he records seven occasions where Jesus proclaims, "I am." A study of these "I ams" provides insight into the life of Jesus and his authority and his messages, and it also teaches us a lot about his purpose. Of course, his purpose directly affects us. His purpose is about us. His purpose is for us. Everything that Jesus did was in view of an eternal purpose. In fact, it's about our eternal hope. The story that unfolds in John chapter 6, which is where we will ultimately end up, is one that helps us to see the humanity of Jesus, and we see his quest for souls that are divinely seeking truth as he tells them, "I am the bread of life." Not everyone is looking for truth. Some walk away from Jesus. Some walk away from his message. That's no different today. There are some who don't listen to Jesus and have no interest in what he says. In all four of the gospel accounts, we see the story of Jesus feeding the 5,000. In three of the gospel accounts, it tells of the event that follows that, where Jesus walked on the water and calmed the sea. We need to think about those events for us to fully understand what Jesus meant when he said, "I am the bread of life." Now, we might wonder for a moment, what does walking on the sea have to do with that? Or the feeding of the 5,000. But that's why we need to look at the story. Most people are familiar with the story of the feeding of the 5,000. We try to imagine and picture in our mind some of the events as they unfold. There was quite a crowd following Jesus, so much so that it was hard even for the 12 to find some time for quiet rest. In fact, they had a hard time just to get time to eat. Jesus as well was seeking a place and a time for rest. He might have been longing for a place just to sit and reflect because he had just heard about the death of John the Baptist, that he had been beheaded. But the people kept coming, and Jesus could not turn them away. Mark's account as well indicates that Jesus sought a place to rest. Take your Bibles and turn to Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6. Jesus speaking to his apostles, the 12 that were gathered with him. In verse 30 says that they all came together to Jesus and told him all the things, both what they had done and what they had taught. The 12 were just returning after he had sent them out. As they went out teaching and preaching, the kingdom of God was at hand. And I can imagine there was a lot to say. There was a lot to express to Jesus. Here's where we've been, and here's what we've done, and here are the people that we've seen. And he says in verse 31, "Come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest for a while. For there were many coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat. And they departed to a deserted place in the boat by themselves." You try to just imagine these things. The excitement, perhaps, of the disciples as they came back to Jesus to tell them all that they had done and where they had been, and the news even of John the Baptist. And Jesus saying there needs to be a time for some rest. He understood the physical needs that were for real. Verse 33 says, "And the multitude saw them departing, and many knew him and ran there on foot from all the cities. And they arrived before them and came together to him. And Jesus, when he came out, saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion for them, because they were like sheep not having a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things." The multitude was such that even when Jesus and the apostles got into the boat to go to the other part across the Sea of Galilee, there were some already knowing where they were going. And I've wondered at times, well, how did they know where he was going? And I think it's really kind of like when you see a bus go by and it says the bus is stopping at Hall Creek or it's stopping at the mall. And the boats were kind of that way too, I understand. There were some boats at least designated. They went back and forth across the sea. And so there were some, at least, who perceived that I know where they're going. And by the time they got there, they were just going a short piece across the top of the Sea of Galilee. Some of the crowds had beat them to where they were going. They wanted to be near Jesus. They wanted to hear what he had to say. And indeed, some wanted to see what he might do next, because he'd been performing signs and wonders and miracles. All day long, they gathered together with this group, this multitude that had come. Many had followed, and Jesus taught them again. He taught them because that's what he did. That was his purpose in coming. And so when there was an opportunity, of course, he would teach. What else would we expect him to do? And we see the compassion again of Jesus as he looked at the multitude, and he sees them as like sheep without a shepherd. He sees that they need leadership, that they need someone who can direct and give them a way of life. He was there and prepared to do that, and he began to teach them many things. And as the day grew long, they saw that there was a need for physical food. Verse 35. And when the day was now far spent, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and already the hour is late. Send them away that they may go into the surrounding country and villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat." Well, the disciples knew there was a bit of a problem here. These people needed to eat something. They had been traveling. They had come to this place, and they had nothing there for them to eat, and there was little money to be able to buy anything for them. Jesus looks at this as an opportunity, though. It's another teaching opportunity, and it's an opportunity to confirm the word, because what he is about to do in performing this miracle and feeding many would indeed be a miracle and would be recognized just as that. And he'd been teaching all day. And so now, to confirm the word that he's been teaching, the miracle would be the sign that would follow to show and to prove that indeed he was of heaven. Verse 37. He answered and said to them, "You give them something to eat." And they said to him, "Shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give them something to eat?" But he said to them, "How many loaves do you have? Go and see." And when they found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. And he commanded them to make them all sit down in groups on the green grass. And they sat down in ranks by hundreds and fifties. And when he had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven, blessed, and broke the loaves, and gave them to his disciples to set before them. And the 2 fish he divided among all. And they all ate and were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments of the fish and of the fish. And those who had eaten the loaves were about 5,000 men. Indeed, something special has happened. A miracle that could not be denied has taken place. It was a sign that would confirm all the things that Jesus has said all day, that indeed he was the Son of God. They would come to learn that he was from heaven. Teaching is what Jesus is all about. That's what he was here for. That's what he had been doing. Even as Matthew's account would say, Jesus went all about the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and disease among the people. Matthew 9 and verse 35. This is what he was doing. And there were indeed those who were listening and those who were following, those I'm sure who were intrigued by what he was doing and who he was. But Jesus preached to the multitude now about what was most important, the kingdom of God. Jesus was always thinking about the spiritual. Not that there were not physical needs, identified right here that there were physical needs, and those needs had to be met. These were people who were hungry. Most understand and know that part of the story. And the miracle that Jesus performed was indeed incredible. But it was for the purpose of confirming that he was of God, that he was of heaven. And this isn't the end of the story. But in fact, it just starts to make up the story because it goes on. Imagine how the 12 were still thinking about the miracle that has happened and has taken place when Jesus tells them to get into a boat and go across the sea. We continue reading here at verse 45. And immediately he made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, to Bethsaida, while he sent the multitude away. And when he had sent them away, he departed to the mountain to pray. It's not unusual in the life of Jesus that we find that he stops and takes time to pray, or even that he seeks a place of quiet and solitude to do so, or that even he goes to a mountaintop to be able to have a place to pray. There's some lessons to be learned even from that. Jesus is still seeking the strength that he receives, the strength that comes when he prays. But we see here the disciples as they are leaving, as they're going to the other side, Jesus as he is taking time to pray, and it says in verse 47 that when evening had come, the boat was in the middle of the sea, and he was alone on the land. And he saw them straining at rowing, for the wind was against them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea and would have passed by them. But when they saw him walking on the sea, they supposed that it was a ghost and cried out, for they all saw him and were troubled. And immediately Jesus talked with them and said to them, "Be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid." And he went up into the boat to them, and the wind ceased. And they were greatly amazed in themselves beyond measure and marveled, for they had not understood about the loaves, because their heart was hardened. See, there's more about feeding of the 5,000 that they needed to understand, too. Well, they were there, and they saw it. They were a part of those events as it all unfolded, and yet they still did not understand the significance of that. Well, surely they thought, well, this is a great thing because there were so many who were hungry but are now filled. But Jesus was not trying to fill them up with physical bread. There was something else that he was trying to impart to them. But they were still not seeing. And even as the text would say, their heart was hardened. And I'm not exactly sure all that means. But we do get a picture of the scene here, don't we? The contrast even. The calm and the peace of Jesus praying alone on the mountain, while at the same time the apostles are in this boat out in the sea and they're rowing against the wind and they can't do anything. In fact, the storm was such that it was concerning them. And then they see the ghost. Not really, it's Jesus as he comes walking on the sea. Can we imagine the emotions as they go up and down with the waves even, and all that's unfolding here? The emotion that they felt, the emotion that went from fear to joy with the disciples. Fear that they were going to drown in the sea. Joy when it was the Lord that came to him and he gets into the boat and the sea is just calm and level again. Are they getting it yet? Do they even fully understand at this point that they are with the Lord, the Son of God? At times it seems like they do, and at times they still seem to be struggling, don't they? I mean, the whole event here was not without purpose. Jesus was still trying to teach his disciples, still trying to demonstrate to them that, in fact, he was the Son of God and the power that he had. But even as we said in verse 52, we see that even his closest disciples were without understanding. Maybe they were blinded by thoughts of a secular kingdom. I've wondered about that because we already know that they still just did not fully understand those things. And in time, it was even among those closest associates that they would say to the Lord, "Who is going to sit on your right hand and your left hand in the kingdom?" As though they were positioning for place of power. No, they still did not understand. But the story continued. And we go to John's account to continue the story. John chapter 6. John chapter 6, the multitude came looking for Jesus on the other side of the Sea of Galilee. It's still interesting to me how there are those who are following Jesus wherever he goes. Even if he tries to go someplace that would be of some quiet and solitude, they would come looking for him. But Jesus knows exactly what they're looking for. It's not necessary that they've come to hear what he has to say, but these are the same ones that had been with him the day before when he fed the 5,000. John chapter 6, verse 25. And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, Rabbi, when did you come here? And Jesus answered and said to them, Most assuredly, I say to you, you seek me, not because you saw the signs, but because you ate the loaves and were filled. Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give to you, because God the Father has set his seal on him. And then they said to him, What shall we do that we may work the works of God? And Jesus answered and said to them, This is the work of God, that you believe in him who he sent. And therefore they said to him, What sign will you perform then, that we may see it and believe you? What work will you do? Well, their interest, the multitude that had come this distance to see and to find the Christ, their interest, well, it was about food still, wasn't it? Physical food. Jesus knew immediately why they were there. He called them on that. You seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate the loaves and were filled. He knew exactly what they had come after. I mean, they weren't even honest enough to even be saying that they had come to hear him teach more. Jesus knew why they were there. And he was not going to fulfill their physical needs this time. It was the opportunity of teaching that he wanted. Teaching the multitude and still trying to teach his disciples, his apostles, who still did not fully understand all that Jesus was and what he was about. There were some who were asking about what should we do, particularly when Jesus talked about this food pertaining to everlasting life. Well, that would get the attention of even the physical man. Food that leads to everlasting life? Wouldn't that be something today? If someone discovered, can you imagine the commercials on TV and the advertisements in the magazines? You know, this is the food you need for everlasting life. How that would sell. Not much different then. When Jesus spoke about food leading to everlasting life, it had their attention. It was something that they wanted to know more about, to where they asked, What should we do? Well, look to the Son of Man, is what he's saying. Look to the one whom the Father has sent. Look to the one that is going to bring about God's plan. The one who was sent from the Father. Believe in him. This is what Jesus was saying. But they were still looking at the physical. They were still trying to take care of physical needs. Jesus taught them about real food. That was his point. That was his purpose. There's a contrast being laid out to us right here. Bread from heaven and true bread from heaven. Because that's what Jesus talks about next. Because they said in verse 30, remember? They said to him, What sign will you perform then? That we may see it and believe in you. What work will you do? And don't you wonder a little bit, isn't there some amazement here that after seeing what they saw yesterday, hearing the lessons that they had taught, that Jesus had taught yesterday, and seeing the signs that he performed, did they still not believe? Was that not enough? Feeding 5,000 from 5 loaves and 2 fish, that's not enough. They're saying to him now, What sign are you going to do that we may believe? And they said, verse 31, Our fathers ate manna in the desert. As it is written, He gave them bread from heaven to eat. And Jesus said to them, Most assuredly, I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. And then they said to him, Lord, always give us this bread. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. And he who comes to me shall never hunger. And he who believes in me shall never thirst. The events that lead up to the point in time of Jesus saying, I am the bread and life, helps us to understand the power and the significance of why he just said what he said. And the contrast, again, that's being made, bread from heaven. They're thinking of the day when God, through Moses, provided bread in the wilderness. But Jesus is saying it was God who provided that. And now God is providing to you true bread. It's like he's saying, don't miss this. Don't mess this up. Pay attention here. I am the bread of life. Because they were still not getting that. Even his apostles were struggling to understand the point and the purpose of what Jesus was doing. When he said, I am the bread of life. And Jesus is telling them, do not labor for that which perishes. You can work day by day to have your daily bread, to nourish the physical body. But the physical body is still going to die. But what Jesus is offering is real bread that leads to everlasting life. True bread that satisfies the spiritual needs. Real bread gives life, and that's why Jesus could say, I am the bread of life. Their perspective. Think about their perspective. We can understand this. Bread was essential to every meal. It was a staple of life. We can understand that. But the true bread provided by God in Jesus Christ was the means of life as in human redemption. That which leads to life eternal. There were some, as the story goes on, who could only murmur against him. There were some who could only cast doubt as they were saying, who is this? Who is this who said, I am the bread which came down from heaven? As if, what nerve of Jesus to say such a thing, because they knew Jesus. Because it goes on to say, is he not the carpenter's son? The son of Joseph and whose mother we know? They were still looking at Jesus, some of them, in just the physical. And they were missing the spiritual. It's not a problem that's unknown to us, is it? Where sometimes the physical just takes over our life and the spiritual is lost. That's what Jesus was dealing with and what he was trying to point out. Jesus was telling them the way of life. Verse 45. It is written in the prophets, and they will all be taught by God. Therefore, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has the Father except he who is from God. He has seen the Father. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness. They are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that a man may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. So Jesus goes a little bit further in the explanation here. That salvation is dependent on a firm grasp of who Jesus is and a response to that which Jesus offers. Jesus is going to offer himself. As he says, his own flesh is what he is going to offer. He is the bread of life. True life can only be found in him. Jesus spoke metaphorically again, making the point that it is only through him that everlasting life can be found. I know that we have an advantage in that we have the rest of the story. But can we imagine those disciples who were standing there, those who were following or seeking Jesus, listening to those things, and how maybe they were honestly confused. Maybe there were those who were honestly trying to understand, what does this mean? And if they were honestly seeking, they would honestly understand. There were those, as we noted already, who were against Jesus, murmuring against him, and would cause issue and cause problems for him. But Jesus has stated very well now who he is and who sent him and what his purpose is. It's the redemption of man. It is to save man. Salvation cannot be found in anything physical. Physical bread, even those who received the manna in the wilderness, they're all dead. That's what Jesus was saying. But what I have to offer you will bring life and bring you life eternal. Believe in me. The message plays just as well today. It's just as powerful and has just as much meaning. That life is found in Jesus and in Him alone. He is the one who brings to us life, to those who believe. And yet there were still many who were there with Jesus, who walked with Him, who heard the lessons that He taught, who saw the signs and miracles that He performed, that could only conclude, this is just too hard to understand, and would walk away. Verse 60. Therefore many of the disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can understand it? When Jesus knew in Himself that His disciples murmured about this, He said to them, does this offend you? What then if you should see the Son of Man ascend where He was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. Indeed, some of them standing there would see the Son of God ascend into heaven. And here He's putting it for them, what if you saw the Son of Man ascend into heaven? And yet there were many who walked away. Jesus is emphasizing that it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. You can fill the physical body with food, with bread every day, and the physical body is still going to die. But what Jesus offers us is life through His Spirit. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. Verse 64. But there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe and who would betray Him. And He said, therefore, I said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been given to him from my Father. What Jesus was saying was hard to understand. At least hard for those who are still just thinking about the physical. And those who have completely missed the point of why Jesus said, I am the bread of life. They're just saying, where are the loaves and the fishes? But Jesus is saying, I am the bread of life. At that point, there were many who did not believe. There were many at this time, many of His disciples who went back and walked with Him no more. Such even that Jesus would say to His disciples, do you want to go away also? Simon Peter wisely said, Lord, to whom would we go? You have the words of eternal life. Indeed, He does. And we believe and are sure that You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Many will hear, but few will follow. It's that way today. We understand that. But it's always been just like that. Even some who walked right there with Jesus, who listened to Him teach, and who saw the signs and the miracles that He performed, and they still turned and walked away. Now we have the testimony. We have the book. And we have the rest of the story, that indeed Jesus would give His life. Jesus would give His life and shed His blood as a sacrifice for our sins. Through that sacrifice, we have hope of life eternal because Jesus is the bread of life. But are we willing to accept and to follow Him? That's the question still that every one of us has to answer. Jesus said, if you believe in me, Jesus would keep on teaching on that very same theme. The apostles later teaching on that same theme. That we have to have faith. That in fact Jesus is the Son of God. That He died on our stead because of our sins. And gives us hope because of His blood. His sacrifice. One of the last things that Jesus said to His disciples before He ascended to heaven. As He commanded them and told them to go into all the world and to preach the gospel to every creature.
He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. He who does not believe shall be condemned. The message from Jesus was so simple that to be in a relationship with him involves faith, belief, that leads us to obedience to all that he would say and command us to do. Are you willing? There were many who walked away. Are you willing to do just as Jesus would say? To accept him as the bread of life, to partake of the food that he has to offer us, that we might live and live eternally. When the apostles taught in Acts chapter 2 and following, those who came to believe were told to repent of their sins and to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for remission of sins. And with that, we find even the beginning of the church that Jesus came to build. It's the church we need to be a part of, and we can be. You can be, even today, if you are not a Christian, you can become one. Would you listen to the words of Jesus? Would you accept the bread of life? Would you come as we stand and sing to encourage you?